You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host, and I'm pleased to be joined with a scholar and expert in the area of apologetics. I'm talking about Dr. Tawa Anderson, who is chair of philosophy, the philosophy department at Oklahoma Baptist University, where he is assistant professor of philosophy. Dr. Anderson, welcome to Messenger Insight.
Thank you very much. It's great to be with you, Brian.
Well, I'm excited to hear about what is developing at OBU to address the area of apologetics, and I was hoping you could tell our listeners what's going on in Shawnee.
I would love to. There's a couple of things that we've been doing for the last two or three years that we continue to do, and one of these is just hosting forums on campus three or four times a semester that address issues of apologetic interest. We've also been taking groups of students to apologetic conferences, a couple in Texas and one last year in New Orleans, and those are just great opportunities to expose them to the broader kind of apologetic world. But the thing that's new this year, what we've just started just off the ground now, we have now apologetic tracks within our philosophy department. So you can do a philosophy major with an emphasis in apologetics, and you can also do an apologetics minor. And so these are the things that really have me excited. We spent the last couple of years kind of visioning these out and then proposing them, and they've been approved, and they're on the ground now as of this fall.
You know, this is really exciting to hear. OBU, with its distinguished history, its prestige, and its track record of building godly young men and women who make a difference in every field of study, in every field of work, to add this to the repertoire is incredible. Now, in what ways will the program, do you see, be equipping students in this area of apologetics? And even more broadly, if someone's never heard this word, apologetics, could you maybe underscore that and talk about that and then talk about what the program will do?
Yeah, sure. So we'll take the first thing first, and I guess the nature of apologetics or what apologetics is, I kind of like a nutshell definition of apologetics. It's easier for me to remember. I just say that apologetics is the defense and explanation of the Christian faith. An apologist is somebody who is making the case for a particular position. And so a Christian apologist is one who is advocating a defense for the Christian faith. You can have a longer definition. Douglas Grotius, I like his definition of apologetics. He says that it's the rational defense of the Christian worldview as objectively true, that is true for all people, rationally compelling, and then existentially or subjectively engaging. And I think that that gets really well at the heart of what apologetics is about. It's about telling people, not only is this what the gospel is, but this is why the Christian perspective of reality, why the Christian worldview is true, and why you also ought to embrace it as true, and how it will change your life if you embrace it as being true. So that's kind of the heart of what apologetics is this rational defense and explanation of the Christian faith. In terms of how it's going to help prepare our students for whatever it is that God calls them into next, I mean, our students are going to go on to all kinds of different things, whether it be graduate study, full-time ministry, the business world, teaching world, all sorts of different occupations that our students are going to go into. But they're going to come out equipped to live and to profess Christ in the marketplace of ideas. So a couple of things particularly, I think that our students are going to have the confidence to engage the questions and doubts that others have, whether these other people are doubting disciples, whether they're followers of Christ that just have questions and doubts about their faith, or whether these other people are opponents of the Christian faith, atheists who are attacking their faith. Our students are going to come out of the program prepared to engage those kinds of questions and doubts wherever it is that they come from. I also think our students are going to be able to articulate the essential truths of Christianity and, again, why these are rational or reasonable beliefs. They're going to be prepared, in a nutshell, to live out kind of the apologetic mandate that we see in Scripture.
That's exciting on a number of levels, and I think that definition provides just a very easy foundation to grasp and an understanding of what it is we're aiming at, what Christ calls us to do, and being equipped as part of our discipleship walk with Him. You know, you stop and think about all the challenges to our faith today, to Christianity, the full frontal attacks of the new atheists, the undermining through the arts and entertainment, and just the loss in footing we're experiencing in the church today. Do you see an increasing need for apologetics in the toolbox of the ordinary believer?
I really do, and I think that we're in a situation that is actually much like the first century situation was when the church was born. The church was born into a context that was not terribly friendly to the Christian faith. The dominant culture had beliefs that were diametrically opposed to Christianity. And I think we're living in an increasingly post-Christian age. That is, our country is changing to the point where you cannot assume a kind of common Christian cultural heritage amongst the people that we have dialogue with. It's not a surprise if you walk the streets of many major cities in North America to come across people who have never heard of the person of Jesus Christ. And in this kind of a context, I think it's even more important to be able to give the reasonable foundation for the Christian faith. I think apologetics has always been important because people always have questions and people always have doubts. But in a predominantly non-Christian society, I think it's even more important because people in our society, I think, have a generally naturalistic worldview. That is, they believe that things happen just according to strict cause or strict order of cause and effect. There is no such thing as miracles, and so, you know, professing that Jesus performed miracles is just seen as nonsensical by a lot of people in our society. And so I think in the context of that kind of dominant worldview, we need to be able to explain why it's reasonable to believe the Christian worldview, why it's reasonable to believe that the Bible is authentic, that the Bible is reliable, and so forth.
Well, I think that's a great point. And, you know, you working with and teaching at a Christian university like you do are at a uniquely good place to equip believers to be salt and light, these people who are going to be the leaders in the country in the future, who are going to be making an impact. So that's very important. Obviously, a multitude of issues come up these days. What are some of the more important or most important apologetics topics you see on the horizon, Dr. Anderson?
Well, to one degree, the answer to that question is it really depends on the person you're talking to, because the most important topic is the question or the doubt that is foremost in their mind. But in general, I think there are some pretty common questions, objections, or apologetic topics that we see. The most profound one, I think, because this one is really the root of, I think, all else, is the question, what is truth? This is a question that Pilate asks Jesus in John 18. You know, Jesus says, I've come to proclaim the truth, to defend the truth, and Pilate just responds and says, well, what is truth? And I think a widespread perspective in our society today is that there is no truth, that there is no objective truth, that there's only personal preference, personal opinion. Or at least if there is any kind of truth, that we can't get at it. And so the notion of defending truth is seen in a different kind of light today than it would have been 100 years ago. And so I think the first question needs to be, is there truth? What is truth? And then how can we then defend and find truth? Other questions that I think are also very important, the question of religious pluralism, the notion that all religions lead to heaven. You know, when you put that in contrast to Acts 4:12, there is no other name under heaven by which men must be saved, or John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, questions like the existence of God. Again, you have, as you mentioned, the rise of the new atheism, this very strident belief and argument that there is no God and that it's foolish to believe in the existence of God. And it's important to be able to combat that with good traditional historical reasons to believe God. Questions about the Bible. Can we trust the Bible? Is it even historically reliable? Questions about Jesus. Who was Jesus? Was he just a great guy or was he God incarnate? These are also central questions. Another one that I think is at the forefront of contemporary questions is the question of human nature. And this is a twofold question. You know, is human nature fallen or sinful? Or are human beings inherently good? And this is a question that has been bubbling under the surface since Jean-Jacques Rousseau, but it continues to be there. You know, if people think that human beings are fundamentally good, well, then what need for a savior? But if we are, in fact, inherently evil, if we have this sinful nature, then that's a very different question. But the other side of the question with human nature in philosophical circles is even more important today, and that's the question of what fundamentally are we? Are we just physical creatures, just a machine? Or are we a dualistic creature? Are we a union of body and soul? And the answer to that question has, again, grave implications. If we are just a physical body, then there is no life after death. There can be no resurrection. There can also be no spiritual renewal because there is no spirit to be renewed. So these are some of the questions I would say that are out there. You know, question of what is truth, a question of other religions, the existence of God, the reliability of the Bible, Who is Jesus? The question of miracles, are miracles possible? And then the question of human nature. So those would be some of them. There's a lot more I could talk probably all day on that, I'm sorry, but there's just lots of questions and doubts out there that people have. You know what, another one, I even forgot to mention this. If God is good and God is all-powerful, why is there evil? Mm. Why is there suffering in the world? If God is a good God and he is all-powerful, he can do anything he wants, why doesn't he wipe it out?
These are great topics and really are at the forefront of a lot of discussion we see, whether it be on a Facebook conversation online or everyday conversations we have, points of struggle that people have. I heard one apologist say we live in a whatever world. In other words, the subjectivity. Again, talking about pain rising up in our life and suffering and death. And Christianity has a satisfying answer to all these because it is grounded on the truth. And the truth in the person of Jesus Christ. Who are some authors that people who take part in this program would be exposed to and maybe grapple with and get to know and from the Christian apologetic circuit?
Some that they'll read, Douglas Grotius, who I mentioned, his definition of apologetics, he would be one. He teaches at Denver Seminary. Bob Stewart, who teaches at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, would be another. William Lane Craig, a fantastic apologist, probably the greatest living Christian debater alive today. Southern Baptist out from Atlanta, Georgia. Gary Habermas, professor of philosophy at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. We'll come across Timothy Keller. We'll come across Mike Lacona and his work on the resurrection. We'll also read some historical apologists, some from early in church history, guys like Justin Martyr, St. Augustine, St. Anselm. So there's a pretty wide variety that we come in contact with.
I think that's excellent. I think OBU is uniquely positioned to do this teaching in a Christian, effective, memorable way. And, you know, you mentioned some of these contemporary apologists and then the historical ones as well. I know you yourself have blogged about this and written about this through the pages of the Baptist Messenger, but online as well. And we're just so honored to be talking with Dr. Tawa Anderson, who is Assistant Professor of Philosophy at Oklahoma Baptist University. If someone wanted to learn more, could they go to the OBU website or look online to find out more about plans as they come together?
That's coming together. We're not quite there yet. The website is in the works. I believe you can find out about the apologetics track online, but you can't find the full information. We do have an informational brochure that I'll make electronically available, certainly through the Messenger webpage. And, of course, people can always contact me to find out more. But we are working on the website. That should be up within the next couple of weeks.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful thing, and we'll pray God's blessings on this ministry, on this venture of apologetics. Again, we're talking to Dr. Tawa Anderson, who is Assistant Professor of Philosophy at OBU, and we look forward to hearing more, and we'll be following the progress of this in the pages of the Baptist Messenger and through our website. But thank you for coming on to talk about Jesus Christ, about the truth, about how Christians ought to be equipped to defend the faith, share the faith, and use it as a springboard for evangelism. So, Dr. Anderson, thank you again.
Thank you very much, Brian, and thank you for what you all do at The Messenger. It's been a blessing to me. In my introduction to Oklahoma Baptist life, I've been here just going on 4 years now, and The Messenger and The Messenger Insights have been a blessing to me, so I'm very thankful for your all's ministry.
Gladly. Thank you, Dr. Anderson. So long.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at BaptistMessenger.com.